What's the secret to really getting to know somebody? Well, Skip Heitzig says it's actually pretty simple.
If you really want to get to know somebody, listen to them pray. You learn a lot about what they believe, about themselves, about God, the kind of relationship they have, just by listening to them pray. I remember when I first dated my wife, Lenya, on one particular occasion, I'd been dating her off and on, and then one night we went to dinner at this steakhouse in Southern California, and we prayed afterwards. I prayed. I thought it was a pretty cool prayer. And then I listened to her pray. And the depth of relationship that I heard in that prayer with the Lord, I walked away more attracted to her than ever. I remember going, wow. In fact, I said it backwards, wow.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
The most common image of Mary at Christmas time is one of a young mother holding a bundled up baby surrounded by straw and farm animals. It makes for a nice picture on that greeting card, but there was far more to Mary's role as the mother of Jesus than that. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig takes a closer look at what it must have been like for Mary to be told she would bear the Son of God. That's certainly good news, but it also came with its fair share of complications. Yet no matter the difficulty, Mary's character allowed her to respond with strength, dignity, and humility. We'll get started with our study here in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to share a gift with someone to help them get the new year off to a good start, here are a few ideas for you.
66 different books by 40 different authors written in 3 different languages, and yet one cohesive message. That's the Bible. This Christmas, take your friends and family on a journey through the entire Bible with the series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet from Skip Heitzig. Get an overview of all the major characters, stories, and themes, and learn how they all tie together. This entire series, all 65 messages and the study guides, is available on a 2-gig flash drive, perfect for the gadget geek you know. And it's just $30 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or if you're looking for something to add a little ambiance to your Christmas celebration, ask for a copy of Songs for Christmas from Phil Wickham for just $8. From Christmas music to a closer look at the entire Bible, you'll find the right gift is available this season from The Connection. Find out more when you call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, you can check that out along with all the other resources we have available for you right now at connectionradio.org. You know, Mary doesn't always get quite her due for the role she played in the birth of Christ. The fact is, she was a very special, very fascinating young woman with some amazing qualities. And we'll take a closer look at who she was and how she responded to some astounding circumstances, and what we can learn from that to apply to our own lives today here on The Connection. Stay tuned.
And make the connection.
We'll continue today in Luke chapter 1, so if you'll flip there in your Bible, we'll catch up with Skip Heitzig for today's study.
How many ladies do you know, if they got this kind of an announcement, would say that? Okay, you're pregnant. I know you can't figure this out, I know this is impossible, but you're pregnant and your belly's going to grow, so you know you're pregnant. And that means, if you think about it, the rest of your life you're going to have to live with that stigma, and she did. Even Jesus, they called him born of fornication, if you remember. How many ladies would say, okay, great, whatever, I surrender, I humbly surrender? Most ladies, if they were married, would say, Joseph, I had this weird dream, and it was really weird. I think I need to see a counselor and talk this over. She doesn't do that. She just has resigned in her heart, in faith and in humility, whatever God wants is what I want. Every Jewish girl had thoughts as she grew up of becoming the mother of the Messiah. It was the hope of every Jewish girl approaching the age of betrothal and marriage. I know the Messiah is coming, and God's going to choose some Jewish woman to be the mother. Maybe I'll be the one. So the day comes where Gabriel goes, guess what, Mary? You're the one. Out of all the Jewish gals in history, out of all the women on the earth, you have been singled out to bring forth the Son of God. And what would that do to your head as a young teenage girl? It could get pretty big, couldn't it? It could swell up several sizes. You could have a lot of pride over that one. Well, I must be something special. Because, you know, there's lots of gals out there, but I'm the one God picked. It would be very easy to get into that. It didn't happen. She surrenders herself to it. And then she comes to grips with it. And verse 46 down to verse 55 is the beautiful prayer of Mary, which we'll look at more in detail in just a moment. But I want to take you to a couple of verses. Mary said, verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant." That's what Mary says about herself. I'm a nobody from nowhere, and God has singled me out. "For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." All generations will call me blessed. So here she goes. Again, I'm a nobody. I'm from nowhere. But from now on, everybody's going to look down through history and say, that's the girl that God blessed and singled out to be the mother of the Messiah. It's beautiful. Verse 52, again, I'm skipping ahead. She prays, "He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." So Mary's own description, I'm lowly. I have a lowly state. It's one of humility. Mary hits an important note in verse 52. It's a principle found throughout the Bible. That is that God exalts the lowly and puts down the prideful or the mighty. That God just has a way of doing that. If you think you're something great and something special, God has a unique way of putting you down and humbling you very quickly. If you are lowly before God and submissive, God has a way of raising you up. He did it with Jesus, right? I mean, that's the whole point of Paul in Philippians when he says, Jesus, who is the exact nature of God, he was God, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, he made himself of no reputation, humbled himself and became a servant. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. He humbled himself. The Father exalted him. Mary humbled herself, and she realizes in that lowly state, God is giving me this blessing. It's beautiful. That's her humility. Let's look at her spirituality. I think Mary is a model believer. She's really an astonishing gal. She hears God's word, she believes it, and now she sings a song of praise, beginning, as I said, in verse 46 down to verse 55. This is called the Magnificat. Some of you may already know that. That's the church term for it, the Magnificat. That's a Latin word that is the translation of the third word of her prayer in verse 46, magnifies. And the Latin, I think, is Magnificat anima mea Dominum. My soul magnifies the Lord. It is her song of praise. It is her Advent song, or if you will, it is her great Adventure song. As she comes to grips with what she is called to do, she lifts up her voice in spontaneous praise and prayer and says these verses. Now, this is an amazing prayer. And if you really want to get to know somebody, listen to them pray. You learn a lot about what they believe, about themselves, about God, the kind of relationship they have, just by listening to them pray. I remember when I first dated my wife, Lenya. On one particular occasion, I'd been dating her off and on, and then one night we went to dinner at this steakhouse in Southern California, and we prayed afterwards. I prayed. I thought it was a pretty cool prayer. And then I listened to her pray. The depth of relationship that I heard in that prayer with the Lord, I walked away more attracted to her than ever. I remember going, wow. In fact, I said it backwards, wow. I was really impressed. This gal knows the Lord. And I wanted to know her. Well, as we get to know Mary, we see two things. We see her personal relationship with the Lord by just a few of the things that she says. Go down to verse 49. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Now, this is what Mary thinks about God. He is mighty, he is holy. He who is mighty. See, a lot of our problem is we don't really know God as mighty. We would say, well, for he who is well-intentioned but incapable, here's something I've discovered. The bigger the concept you have of God, the smaller your problems are in front of the mighty God. The bigger your problems are in your life, it's because your view of God happens to be very, very small. Here's a girl who's just been told, this has never happened before, Mary, but you're pregnant. So Holy Spirit did it, and you're going to have a baby in your womb. That's impossible. The angel said, with God, all things are possible. She goes, okay, I'm into that. I believe that. I submit to that. And now she utters what she believes about God. He is mighty, and probably mightier that week than the previous weeks in her life. Remember when you were a kid, and if you had a normal upbringing, a mom or a dad, especially a dad, there was a period in your life when he was Superman. He could do anything. I remember at least my dad, I thought, my dad is like better than all of their dads. And my dad can do anything. And then you come to a stage in your life where you realize your dad can't do everything. And that's just called growing up. The more you grow up, the more you realize dad is like anybody else, makes mistakes, has good points about him. Mom makes mistakes, has good points about her. That's called growth. Well, here's what happens when you grow as a Christian. You realize your Heavenly Father can do everything, and more so than what you believed before. So she always believed, but now she's experiencing this and meeting with Elizabeth. And she says, God is mighty, and he is holy. Shows her relationship with her God. Not only does it show her relationship with God, it shows her regard for the scripture. Now get this. This is, to me, the greatest part of this prayer. It blows my mind. There are no less than 15 quotations of Old Testament passages in this little prayer, or references to them, echoes of them. A part of Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 1 and 2 are echoed in Mary's prayer. Maybe Mary was poring over that passage. But there's a lot of others, like the quotes from the law, the Psalms, the writings of the prophets, all laced in the fabric of her prayer to God. Here's a couple samplings. Look at verse 46. Look at the phrase, my soul magnifies the Lord. Now listen to Psalm 34, verse 2. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. She was echoing that. Verse 47, she says, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. That's an echo of Isaiah 45. There is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. Look at verse 48. For he has regarded the low estate or state of his maidservant. That sounds a lot like what Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. She said, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me. And again, verse 48, for behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. Now that sounds a lot like what Leah prayed in Genesis 30. She was one of the wives of Jacob. She finally got pregnant and she said, happy am I, for the daughters will now call me blessed. Echoes of all of those Old Testament scriptures. There's another one, verse 49, he who is mighty has done great things for me. It's an echo of Psalm 126, verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us. In verse 49, and holy is his name, is a direct quote from Psalm 111, verse 9. It says, and holy and awesome is his name. Okay, why am I belaboring this? Because this is what I want you to get. This blows my mind. We're dealing with a teenager. She's 13 to 17 years of age, and it's not like she has a concordance to look up all these verses before she prays. This is flowing out of her heart spontaneously. What an example of a young woman who had been taught the Word of God by her parents so that it became a part of her fabric. Charles Spurgeon says we could do the same. We could so internalize the Word of God, he says, so that your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord, and so that your blood is bibline, the very essence of the Bible flows from you. So don't you think that's amazing? A young girl from Nazareth, from the age of 13 to 17, knows that much scripture? Not only that, she knows a lot about her own history, the history of Israel. Here's a sampling of it. Verse 50, his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She not only knows scripture, she knows her history. She knows about the Abrahamic covenant. She knows the eternal nature of that covenant. My goodness, this teenager knows theology. This young teenager knows more than many pastors I've met. It's part of her life. Question. If you bump into a bucket, what comes out of the bucket? Whatever's inside. That's the easy answer. If there's nothing, nothing comes out. If there's water, water comes out. If it's soapy water, it gets all over you. Whatever is in it comes out. When people bump into you, what comes out? Same answer. Whatever's inside. Jesus put it this way. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in Mary's heart? This. God's truth, God's principles, God's word, the history of her own people, the knowledge of God. When people bump into you, what comes out? That's in there. It came out. No wonder Paul said in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. People bump into you, that's what comes out. Let's close this off and look at a couple verses. Let's end with this, her necessity. We've seen her history, her humility, her spirituality. But Mary says something about her condition and expresses her own need, and I think it's very timely and important to look at. Verse 47. Well, I've got to take it in context. I'm just like that. Verse 46, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my what? Savior. Who needs saviors? Only sinners need saviors. Mary, by her own admission, in saying God is my Savior, admits her need for salvation, and in so doing admits that she is a sinner in need of salvation. Now follow that up with the next verse, verse 48. He has regarded the lowly state, that's who she is, the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. Notice that. Didn't say all generations will ask me to give them a blessing, but all generations will recognize that I have received the blessing. All generations will call me blessed. Mary is never the dispenser of blessing, always the recipient of blessing. In verse 49, the Lord has done great things for me. And then she says, and holy is his name. Here is holy, righteous, transcendent, separate God who has condescended to me, to bless me, to love me, to show me favor. And in contrast to her sinfulness, she recognized God's holiness. And so must we all. So must we all. Max Lucado put it best when he said, you don't impress the officials at NASA with your paper airplane. You don't boast about your crayon sketches in the presence of Pablo Picasso. Hey, look at Pablo, look what I drew. You don't claim equality with Albert Einstein because you can write H2O. And you don't boast about your goodness in the presence of the perfect one. Mary, in the presence of the perfect one, said, whatever you want, you're the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. I have a lowly state. I've received your mercy. The Lord has blessed me and done great things for me. So all of this to say, never in the New Testament was Mary considered an object of worship. But she was the subject who worshiped the great God. You remember that passage in Luke chapter 11 when a crowd of people are around Jesus and one woman yells out from the crowd. She says, blessed is the woman who gave you birth and nursed you. You know what Jesus said immediately? He turned to her and said, yea, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So Jesus never told the world to worship his mother. Mary never became an object of adoration. She never allowed that. The disciples, the apostles, the book of Acts, the epistles of Paul, none of that ascribe anything to Mary. She's not to be prayed to. She didn't have an immaculate conception. She's not the co-redemptress of the human race. All of that is not found in the scripture, and all of those things misrepresent Mary, who would be appalled if she knew that people were worshiping her. Listen, you want to honor Mary? Then you honor her God that she loved by worshiping him. You want to honor Mary? Then you honor the Christ that she bore by receiving him into your life as your Savior, who was also her Savior. That's how you honor Mary. She was blessed beyond all women on the face of the earth. And if you want to honor her, you worship not her, you pray not to her, you worship God, and you receive Christ. There's a famous song that was put out by Mark Lowry some years ago. It comes every Christmas called Mary, Did You Know? Ever heard that song, Mary, Did You Know? Great lyrics. Here's just a sampling of a few. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And that this child that you delivered will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know? Did she? Oh, you bet she knew. The question is, do you know? She knew it. She was humble. She was spiritual. But she had a need of a Savior. And if that's true for Mary, I guarantee it's true for every one of us. We also need a Savior.
And that's what makes Christmas so special. It's a celebration of the day when God gave us the gift we really needed, the gift of a Savior. But perhaps that isn't what Christmas is all about for you. Perhaps you're missing out on that and wonder why this time of year is so special. Well, now that you've heard the reason, are you ready to make it your own? Are you ready to celebrate the gift of a Savior? If you'd like to know how you can make Jesus a personal part of your Christmas and every day after that, please don't hesitate to call us at 1-800-922-1888 or click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. Well, we're just about out of time for today, and you're just about out of time to get some great resources from Skip at special prices. So do yourself a favor, save a little money while enriching your life. And here's how.
What do your kids hope to find under the Christmas tree? Video games? Movies? Music? They may be favorite gifts at Christmas time, but should we be concerned about the impact they're having on our kids? The documentary Shattered explores the vital issues that families are dealing with in this surprising look at the dark side of today's media and what you can do to protect your family. Skip Heitzig hosts the DVD Shattered, and it's available now from The Connection for just $15. Get a copy for your family now when you call 1-800-922-1888 or order on the web at connectionradio.org. And if you're looking for other gift ideas, share some refreshing insights from God's Word with Lenya Heitzig. Order two of her new Bible studies, as well as four booklets from the Refresh series for just $30. Plus, when you order, we'll also include a free Christmas CD. Find out more about these special offers when you call 1-800-922-1888.
And that's also how you can get in touch with us for a copy of today's teaching, which was called Mary's Excellent Adventure. It's available for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or you can write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Next time, we'll wrap up our week of preparation for Christmas as Skip shares a message entitled, The Light Was About to Shine. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.